This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
MyPillow has designated some of its call center to help U.S. companies navigate the many issues that resulted from this pandemic. We've dedicated 75% of my manufacturing to produce cotton face masks. By Friday, I want to be up to 50,000 a day. And I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families.
Barbaric.
How dare you?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I think these briefings could be, better designed. Not have PR stunts like Mr. Pillow coming out and giving a plug for his company and that sort of thing.
Everybody was attacking this MyPillow guy. Here's my thought. If you're making 50,000 masks, say whatever you want to say. Just get the masks to the people on the front line, and we as Americans should salute anybody doing that.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
You're not one of the people that mom saw as worthy to, teach how to cook and make tomato sauce.
It's just that you spent so much more time in the kitchen, Chris, than I did. You know, you had that always liked mom's little helper and always underfoot.
Yeah, see, I don't see it that way.
You spent years in the kitchen when you think of it.
Boys!
My brother Chris is positive for coronavirus. Found out this morning. He is going to be fine. He's young, in good shape, strong. Not as strong as he thinks, but
unchained and unstoppable.
It all started in Wuhan province.
We have to depend on what the president's going to do right now. And first of all, he has to wait till the cases before anything happens.
This is getting so sad.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Things grow stranger by the day. All morning and into the afternoon, I don't know if it's wrapped up yet, but there's a hearing in front of the Supreme Judicial Court in Boston. Of course, it's a virtual hearing. No reporters allowed either, because they don't want to break up the audio quality of it. And a bunch of the usual suspects are arguing that the Supreme Judicial Court should release the usual suspects, i.e. people in prisons and jails. Not everybody. But there are some bad actors that they want to release. It's the four DAs, Rollins, Ryan in Middlesex County, Sullivan out west. The usual crew of crackpots, and they want to release these prisoners. And the DA, the other DAs, the seven DAs that are prosecutors, don't want to release them. The sheriffs don't want to release them. Think about this. All these prisoners, why are they in jail? Because they couldn't behave themselves. A majority have drug problems or alcohol problems. What treatment are they going to get outside in this time of pestilence? How are they going to support themselves other than returning to a life of crime? And most of all, how do you think a junkie or an alky career criminal is going to practice social distancing? What a great idea. What could possibly go wrong with letting all these prisoners loose? But they've spent hours on this today, the SJC, the Supreme Judicial Court. Meanwhile, see, here's what's making my head spin around. Meanwhile, I hold in my hand another story here. D.C. Mayor Bowser, not the one from Sha-na-na. This is a different Bowser. Mayor Muriel Bowser is threatening residents of the nation's capital with 90 days in jail and a $5,000 fine if they leave their homes during the coronavirus outbreak. So think about that. I mean, I know it's different jurisdictions, different locales, But they're talking about letting prisoners go out on the street who are guilty of crimes and throwing citizens into the jail for walking the streets who haven't committed any crimes.
Barbaric.
Okay? Do you get it? Because I don't get it. I don't get it. You know who else doesn't get it? Joe Biden. Joe Biden is up to his usual tricks today. First, it was he was talking about the Wuhan virus. Well, before that, he was talking about that thing from Africa. He meant Ebola.
Our Secretary of State insisted, and this broke the meeting up, basically, in terms of her influence, that this be called the Wuhan virus.
The Wuhan virus. Okay. No, he meant Wuhan virus, but he seems to be stuck on the word Wuhan. I don't know. Does he think it's like a luau? Did he go to Hawaii and have a good time once at a luau, some belly dancers or something in grass skirts? Is that what it's all about? But anyway, he was back to the Wuhan again yesterday. Cut one.
I suggested that we should have people in China at the outset of this event, and when it all started in Wuhan province.
The Wuhan virus out of the Wuhan province. It's kind of like that song about Ireland, how are things in Glacamora? There is no Glacamora. I don't know if there's a Wuhan or not, but that's not where the virus came from. But wait, there's more from Joe Biden, as there always is. Cut three.
My message is that the president has to move more rapidly. You know, we know from experience that speed matters. We know that you can't go too fast. It's about going too slow. And in order to avoid those very high numbers, we have to do at least several things. One, we have to depend on what the president's going to do right now. And first of all, he has to wait till the cases before anything happens. Look, the whole idea is he's got to get in place things that were shortages of. We're not testing enough people. We don't, our first responders, docs and nurses don't have the gloves, the masks. They don't have the equipment they need.
May we quote you on that, Mr. Vice President? Incidentally, as most of us have come to know over the last few weeks, the vice president has a sixth grandchild that he's welcomed into the world, or maybe not so welcomed into the world, baby Burisma, born down in Little Rock of the Washington, D.C. Capitol Hill stripper that his wayward son, Hunter, knocked up in the midst of a crack cocaine binge at a strip joint in D.C., and so he was talking about his grandchildren. He has six grandchildren. You know that. I know that. Uncle Joe from Wuhan province doesn't know that. Cut four.
And just personally, I know your son Bo's family lives very close to you.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see your grandkids, can you?
Well, no, but every single day I speak to all five of my grandkids, either on the phone or I text with them.
Mama, where's my grandpa? Gone to the White House, ha, ha, ha. It's the old Grover Cleveland line from way back when, back in the days when Joe Biden was a young buck. Back in the second half of the last part of the 19th century, as he would put it. 844-500-4242. There's so much to get to here today, so much to get to. But again, think about the juxtaposition there, that the highest court in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is right now hearing arguments to release criminals onto the street because of this virus, while at the same time the mayor of Washington, D.C. is threatening to imprison for 90 days and fine up to $5,000 anyone who's walking around, out any law-abiding citizens who are walking around out on the street. Has Governor Charlie Parker weighed in on that court case? Well, here's the interesting thing about it. I don't know if he's... See, nobody seems to know what's going on in the case because nobody can listen to the case. There aren't any observers. There's no gallery where people can observe, you know, whether you're a reporter or just a member of the public or an aide to any of the affected parties, and you can call out and tell what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on because it's closed. They won't allow anybody to come in. Just like last week, they didn't allow us to have a reporter in the governor's council meeting where they handed a lifetime $155,000 job to the wife of a state rep to work, quote unquote, at a shuttered courthouse, basically. So this was just another example. They're operating behind closed doors. But the ironic thing here is they're asking the SJC to release all these prisoners. There was a law passed at the height of the Cold War in 1950, the Civil Defense Act, and it specifically gives only the governor the right to release prisoners in times of an epidemic or a pandemic. So the SJC has no standing in this case. In a normal time, you know, when judges went by the law, that would be the settlement of the case right there. You just have to cite that and the case would be tossed out. But these state judges have no more interest in enforcing the law than Obama's appointees on the federal bench or Clinton's. You know, they just make it up as they go along. They just do whatever makes them feel good. And if they think cutting loose a few junkies and illegal aliens will somehow, you know, get them a toast at some party in Cambridge or Provincetown, they'll go for that. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here, chumps. More Howie Carr after this.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Experience the amazing benefits of Super Beets, especially now in this time of pestilence. Get a free 30-day supply, free shipping, and free nitric oxide strips to test your nitric oxide levels with your first purchase when you visit www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. They make you feel better, and they improve your health. Super Beets. That's www.superbeetsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court allow for the release of some inmates to protect them from the virus?
Some are already being released, you know, but just on an individual basis. But, you know, why release on an individual basis and let judges decide and, you know, make rational decisions when you can just release a bunch of them willy-nilly and let them commit crimes to fundamentally transform America? But I'm going to say the SJC for once is going to do the right thing and not release them.
77% think they will be released.
I can understand the skepticism of that 77% of the people. All right, 844-500-4242. All right, everyone, most people sitting at home right now are bored out of their minds. TV is fine for a while, but it gets old fast, as you know, especially when you can't watch sports or much news without seeing Jim Acosta. You've probably read and reread all your favorite books, and there's a lot lengthier wait to get books from big sites like Amazon now because they're overwhelmed. But at the Howie Carr Show, we do all our shipping in-house. So what does that mean? That means we have the unique ability to pack your books up and get them out to you the next day. So today and tomorrow only, I'm going to offer you a great deal from the Howie Carr Show. Three of my books, my own books that I publish myself for only $14.99 and free shipping. We have four different bundles that you can choose from. All of my political books, Kennedy Babylon 1 and 2, What Really Happened, and all the organized crime books, Rat Man, Rifleman, and Plug Uglies. They're all, it's a great cross-section of books, and if you haven't read them all, and if you've read one or two, just go to a different, get a different bundle. So go to HowieCarshow.com and pick out your bundle today. Free shipping, three books for $14.99. That's $5 per book. No shipping charge. That's a good deal. Honey's not going to get a better deal for you than that. That's the best deal we've got going. It's only for 2 days, so get on board right now. 844-500-4242. Chris, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Howie. You know, I was listening to Rush earlier, and he was talking about how Cuomo said that, you know, we need to go to nationalized health care.
Yes.
Of course, my thought was if nationalized health care was the solution to this, then how come it came out of China? I mean, if government control was actually going to help this, then how come all these government-controlled companies are where these things always come from?
Right. And Italy, you know, even Joe Biden, as senile as he is, he realizes that single payer is not the answer here. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yep, buddy, have you been in a grocery store and seen how they're sold out? You know, the grocery stores are all sold out. Everybody knows that. So I'm in the grocery store the other day, and I noticed that there's one aisle that is like pristinely untouched. And you know what aisle that is?
What's that?
It's the organic, the organic food section.
Yeah, there's a lot of things getting, you know what you're not reading too many stories about these days, Chris? Transgender bathrooms. That's another thing that's
right.
nobody seems that concerned about transgender bathrooms anymore, right?
They're also extending plastic bags up here in Maine so we can use them longer. It turns out somebody smartened up about bringing your dirty old, you know, grocery bags back to the store is a bad idea.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, Cambridge and Boston, they were in the forefront of the fight against the evil of plastic bags in Massachusetts. Now they've outlawed reusable bags for the duration because they're so filthy and nasty and dirty. It's really funny. I mean, there are some silver linings to this whole thing, Chris. There's no doubt about it. Thanks for the call. All right, 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with a veteran, a World War II vet, 95 years old, who survived this. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
If you're stuck at home and you've never had a chance to start texting us, you can always join the text club. Just text Howie to 63566 to join the text club. Howie to 63566. There was a great story in the Portland Oregonian today, and it got picked up by the New York Post. And I read you the headline, Oregon Veteran 95 Beats Coronavirus. I survived Guam. I can get through this bull bleep. Well, we now have that 95-year-old veteran on the line, Bill Kelly. Bill Kelly, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Well, thanks. Good to talk to you.
Hey, how was it? We keep hearing how bad this thing is, and it's taken out senior citizens. And what was it like? How'd you survive?
Well, really, I think I might have had a lighter case. I had, for a couple of days, I had a pretty bad problem with my back trying to get comfortable and all that and all. But I just kind of followed my directions, did what my doctor told me to do, and stayed inside and got lots of rest and just worked its way through. So I'm real pleased about that.
Well, that's great. We're really happy. It says the story said that you have other, dreaded underlying medical conditions, including kidney disease, a congenital heart condition, and high blood pressure. But you what are you laughing at, Bill Kelly?
You know, I've decided with all of that stuff going on inside that. I think I'll just tough it out and last as long as I can. I serve my hitch, so I'm just pleased to be able to be about. I don't want to rot in a nursing home. Thank you.
I don't blame you. You were on Guam during World War II? You were in the Navy, right?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. I was with the 53rd Naval Construction Battalion, and we were attached to the 3rd Marine Division, and we followed them in the Solomon and the Mariana Islands, and the invasion was on retaking Guam itself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it says. So what do you recommend if people are feeling a little peaked, even if they're not 95, even if they didn't survive Guam? What would you suggest they do if they get a little down with this?
Well, I would say, guys, people, do as you're told. Follow the doctor. Take plenty of plenty of liquids. Get plenty of rest. Have family around you to support you, and if you're a good, strong patriot, you'll make it through. I'll guarantee it.
So, who do you live with in McMinnville, Oregon?
Well, I'm living right now with my daughter and my granddaughter and her husband and my two great grandsons.
Oh, that's great. So and so it says it says in the story that you hunkered down with plenty of classic movies. What were some of the old movies you saw?
Oh, one that I love is Brother Where Art Thou, and I love the music in that, yeah. And one of my favorites, I didn't have a chance to see it, but one of my favorites was John Wayne, the old Sergeant York. You ever had
That was Gary Cooper, though, right? Gary Cooper?
Gary Cooper. Yeah. Gary Cooper. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. And I have a party record with the chicken dance on it. Funny songs like that. And I play there early in the morning, and that gets the place going lively around here. And you got to keep the spirit up. And that seems to help the cause.
You got one of those old Joe Biden record players still, Bill Kelly, after all these years?
Yeah, I guess. I reckon.
So are you feeling back to normal now, or are you still a little down, just recuperating?
It's a little tough to say for sure. It's a combination of things, and I'm not going to get back where I was, but I'm able to be about. I take on food pretty well, and all in all, I feel pretty good. And the doctor says, keep on doing what you're doing, and don't bust a gut. Just take it easy, and you ride it through.
How's your family doing? Have they tested? Have they tested for it for the coronavirus? Or are they quarantining themselves for the duration, for the 14 days?
I was really concerned because I was a carrier apparently, and I've got two great grandsons. One is 11 months old. The other is 5 years old. And I sure as heck didn't want to pass that on to them. So we were real careful. We wore our masks and all that. I pretty much stayed in my bedroom and stayed away. I could hear him out there playing and talking, which is fine, you know, but I didn't get any contact with him. So I was pleased so far, knock on wood, that the little guys are okay.
Well, that's great. You know, can we send you a T-shirt? We have a T-shirt that we give out, Proud to Be Deplorable. Would you like us to send you one of those T-shirts?
I love it. I love it. I'll wear it, I'll tell you.
All right. Well, listen, you hang on and you talk to Grace. And Bill Kelly, we're so happy that you've recovered from it and, beaten this thing. And I hope you many happy returns. When's your birthday?
1/1/25, January 1st, 1925.
Wow. Oh, you're a New Year's baby from 1925.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Right.
All right. Bill Kelly, congratulations on beating coronavirus at the age of 95. And hang on and talk to Grace, and we'll get your address and get you out a Deplorables T-shirt. We really appreciate it. It's good to get some good news. Hey, thank you. That's Bill Kelly, 844-500-4242. See, this is, you know, I mean, it's not a death sentence, even if you're over 90, you know, people are beating it. It's the death toll the latest numbers I've seen says that if you even in the upper age brackets, the death toll is like 2/3 of 1%, or maybe it's 2/3 of 1% altogether. But still, it's not the end of the world. The world will go on. 844-500-4242. Before we go back to the phone lines, I just want to play the, Pelosi said with Jake Tapper on Sunday, of all people, Jake Tapper, that the president is fiddling and people are dying. Now, this is the president of the United States. He banned air travel from China on January 31st. January 31st. Keep that date in mind. Now we have a sound cut from Nancy Pelosi, who says that the president has blood on his hands and that he's fiddling and diddling and he's Nero. He's the modern Nero as people die. This is Pelosi in Chinatown in San Francisco 24 days after air travel from China has been banned wisely, sagely, judiciously by the President of the United States. This is Nancy Pelosi in Chinatown on February 24th, 24 days later. Cut 19.
It's exciting to be here, especially at this time, to be able to be unified with our community. We want to be vigilant about what might be on the what is out there in other places. We want to be careful about how we deal with it. But we do want to say to people, come to Chinatown. Here we are. We're, again, careful, safe, and come join us.
February 24th, 24 days after air travel from China was stopped by the President of the United States. And that was what? How many days? That was 18 days before Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York City made his last plea to his constituents in New York City to come outside during the pandemic. He thought it was okay on March 13th to urge people to get out and about. And yet now they're criticizing the President of the United States. Russ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Russ.
First of all, Howie, the one thing that is guaranteed, the left-stream media and Nancy Pelosi lack candor, okay? And all they do is feed this garbage to their followers, and their followers, like a bunch of guppies, believe it. Now, Howie, right now, with all these government employees that are not working, all the hacks, they're getting paid, right? Not
yes.
Like the rest of us. They're getting paid.
Yes.
Okay.
I know. A lot of government workers are working. You know, I mean, the people that are processing unemployment, that kind of stuff. I got no problems with that. But what about all the people? I come back to UMass Amherst or UMass anywhere. Go to the Herald website, the Boston Herald website, and check out the salaries and just hit them in ascending or descending level. And just see how many people there are and see if you think any of those people are essential, and you see how much they're making, and you think how many people have lost their paychecks. I mean, stuff like, I saw today the Halfway Cafe, you know, a place we're all familiar with in the suburbs of Boston. They were trying to do a takeout business, and they finally gave up the ghost. And, you know, they're laid off. Everybody at the Cheesecake Factory is laid off. Everybody from Macy's basically is laid off. Everybody from, Target, or most of them are laid off. All these people are laid off, and yet all these directors and vice provosts and deputy chancellors of sustainability and diversity, they're all still getting $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a week, Russ. Is that right? Do you think that's right?
Of course not. Of course Charlie doesn't give a damn how long he keeps the rest of us out of work. And I'll tell you, Howie, I am so outraged over this, because this is not going to go away anytime soon. There's no question. Until there's a vaccine for this, theaters are going to have to remain closed. Ballparks, any venue like that with a lot of people is going to, and especially the Republican and Democratic convention. How can they justify having 20,000 people in an auditorium?
I know, they just canceled. They canceled the state Democratic convention just today. I mean, I assume they would do it, but you know, that would have been an interesting event because Markey, the incumbent senator, and Joe Kennedy, the congressman who's running against them, they were both maneuvering to try to win that thing. But that's not going to happen now. And you know, that's the right decision. That it shouldn't be happening if this is really a pandemic and could be spread. So, you know, but it's unfortunate. And again, there are certain groups for whom this is a vacation. I don't know how else to describe it. You know, it is. Thanks for the call, Russ. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's the guru of graft. It's Howie Carr.
This is Karen from Billerica, Massachusetts.
This is Adrian in Swanton, Vermont.
This is Miss Susan up in Warner, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
What kind of world do we live in when a guy goes on national TV to a press conference at the White House in the Rose Garden and announces he's switching over his factory from production of pillows, high-end pillows, to the production of masks for the coronavirus pandemic, and he is roundly attacked because he mentions the Bible? Because he mentions maybe people ought to, you know, think about their relationship with God. I mean, this is Mike Pindell. He was a junkie. I mean, he's the ultimate American success story, isn't he? He was addicted to crack cocaine, and he turned it around, and now he's a multimillionaire, and he's a very successful guy, and he employs thousands of people, and he's on TV all the time, and they hate him. They hate him. 844-500-4242. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Howie, as soon as Mike Lindell said God and Bible yesterday during that press conference, I predicted he would get slammed by the liberal media.
And he did.
And sure enough, they roasted him. So here's what I think Mike Lindell ought to do. For each mask he makes, he ought to put a cross on the mask with Jesus on the cross. That'd really frost him.
How about if he had said, let us all praise Allah and bow towards Mecca? Do you think, I think he would have gotten a total pass, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah, they'd be singing his praises then.
Yeah, I don't understand why they hate him so much. I mean, he's hung out at Mar-a-Lago. He's a supporter of President Trump. But he seems like a very pleasant human being, doesn't he? I don't think he has a hateful bone in his body. And yet, this is the way they treat him. They just can't get beyond Orange Man Bad. He could, you know what he could also, he could say, every one of these masks is going to registered Democrats. Every one of these masks is only going to people who voted for Bernie Sanders. That wouldn't be enough. That wouldn't be enough. He was standing next to President Trump. So he has to be taken down. Arthur, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Arthur.
Well, Howie, you know, they want to let the criminals out. And I guarantee you that they will, otherwise it wouldn't be behind closed doors. Well, the one thing they're not letting out is the rest of the country. After 30 years, Howie, of having a great business, and I'm in the trucking, and I was in the trucking and courier business, in 1 month, they managed to put me and a lot of my friends out of business. I got one client left. By shutting everybody down, people who do business with these people is shut down. And you know what? The loans, how are people going to pay back loans when they don't have any business? How are people going to retain people when we have no money to pay them and pay bills?
I know.
They don't want them to go on unemployment.
Arthur, tomorrow's April 1st. It's the first of the month. The lease is due. The rent is due. The payments on the note are due, right?
Yes, yes. All the leases, everything's due. That's just the business expenses. Never mind the personal expenses of everybody. But people who have EBT cards are going to get them filled. People who are on welfare don't have to worry. Section 8 people don't have to worry. The only people that have to worry are the people who have worked for a living and have sweated all their life to turn around and be a small, take the chance to be a small businessman and put people to work. And in 1 month, these people who told everybody that everything is just fine, there's nothing to worry about the virus, go out there, have a great time, and in 1 month they've killed us all.
Non-essential, that's what they're saying. Non-essential businesses. If you own a business or if you work for a business, it's not non-essential, is it? I'm Howie Carr.